welcome to Outlook. Good to have you along. Thanks for joining us this weekend. My name is Dan Holzman. And for the next 25, 28 minutes or so, we're talking mass transit with Owen O'Neill, Executive Director, Atlanta. Owen, you got that title about, what, 6 weeks, 2 months ago or so, right? Early January.
Right. Well, officially, I became the executive director on October 1st.
Oh, okay. And, oh, all right.
But the former executive director, Armin Greco, we had a period where we were both there.
Transition period of a deal. Okay.
And his official last day was January 2nd. So I was... Okay. I took the training wheels off, I said, on January 2nd.
You're a big boy now, right?
Right, exactly, right.
And Armin was there for, what, 35, 40 years?
Yeah, 38 years was the executive director, right.
So you have a way to go to meet. I mean, you better get going. You have a long way to go, Owen.
Right.
What was the transition like, and how much easier was it having Armin there to sort of guide you through? I know you had been there before as his assistant. Take us through the transition period.
Right. Well, I was, I've been with Atlanta since 2010. I was the director of planning until I was moved up to the executive director, and having that period where Armin was still there was great. We kind of walked through what to expect at different times of the year, what kind of things we have to do, and having been there for 5 years, I was familiar with a lot of the things, but obviously there was a lot of things that I didn't do, and so having that time with Armin to run through everything was very helpful. And I think the transition's has been great. Other than Armin, we've actually had quite a bit of turnover in the leadership at Atlanta over the last few years. We've had our assistant executive director and director of maintenance both retired last year. Our director of operations had retired the year before, and we were able to fill all those with internal people who are very, very talented and have a lot of experience. So that's helped in terms of not just replacing Armin, but replacing really the whole top level of leadership. And it's just it's been the places Armin left it in great shape. So I've said I didn't have to come in and put out any fires or deal with any crises, and so I can just kind of start to focus on some things that we'd like to do moving forward.
What surprised you the most going from assistant to director of planning to the director? What made you go, geez, I wasn't expecting this.
Right. I guess the probably one of the biggest surprises has been the range of things I deal with on any given day, and in my previous position as director of planning, I had a pretty wide range of things I was dealing with, and that's really tripled or quadrupled going to executive director. I can deal with anything from a minor issue with an employee to then being on the phone with someone from Senator Casey's office talking about federal legislation and things like that. So the range of things that I deal with on any given day is really has been probably the biggest surprise.
How glad are you to see that winter is almost officially in the rearview mirror? I guess like everyone else in the valley, you probably had your fill of the snow and the sleet and the slop.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a difficult call for us because we don't want to cancel service too quickly because people rely on us to get to work and to get to school and things. But obviously, there's the other side of it where we want to make sure that we're paying attention to the safety of our employees, our riders, and things like that. So it's always a difficult call, and we try to keep service out as much as long as we can, as late as we can on these types of days. But it makes it a lot of times it's not even the day of the storm; it's the aftermath of the storm, the days following when the roads are 6 feet narrower than they were the day before, and you start to get buses start to clip things and turns that were easy the day before are now very hard, and it definitely takes its toll on our operations.
Who is responsible for clearing Atlanta bus stops? Do you guys have to go out and make sure you're able to get your clients are able to get there? Is it the individual townships? How does that work?
Right, that's one of the difficult situations because it is basically Atlanta doesn't own any of our bus stops other than the transit centers, which we actually don't own either. We're tenants there, but each individual bus stop is just someone's property. so there's a sidewalk. So it really depends on the municipality whether or not the municipality clears sidewalks, or if it's up to the owners. One of the biggest problems too is even if the sidewalk is clear, then you kind of have a mound of snow in between the sidewalk and the street. So if people are trying to get onto the bus, it's difficult. And there's a lot of places where there's no cement pad connecting the sidewalk to the curb, and so then you end up with these islands of snow that people are trying to climb over and things like that. So it's kind of a mixed bag. There's 2,600 bus stops throughout the Lehigh Valley, so it's a lot of different situations at each different one. The ideal is if the sidewalk is clear and there's a clear path between the sidewalk and the curb, but unfortunately that doesn't happen at a lot of the places.
The terrible weather, how does that, if at all, affect your business? Does it help because people say, you know, I really don't want to drive in this, or does it kill you?
It's when it's bad, ridership is way down because a lot of about 50% of people taking the bus on any given day are going to work. So those people still have to get to work and they'll generally ride. About 10% of the 10 to 15% are going to school, whether it's high school or college. And a lot of times they'll cancel school or cancel classes. So obviously they're not coming out. And then a lot of the other trips are really discretionary. They're personal business, people going to do certain things, and those people just won't go if it's bad out. They'll wait till the next day, kind of a thing. So it does. So the number of people who say, well, you know, maybe I'll take the bus today because it's easier than driving. That's far outweighed by the number of people who just say who would normally take the bus and decide not to take their trip that day.
Chatting with Owen O'Neill, Executive Director at Lanta. All right, so who is Lanta? I mean, you're Lehigh County and Northampton County,
right?
As your name might imply,
right?
So who is, you're the Executive Director, but you're not alone, certainly. How is the decision making process done? What's the chain of command with Lanta?
Right. Well, like you said, Lanta actually stands for Lehigh and Northampton Transportation Authority. Lanta's a two county, we're a municipal authority. We're not a part of the county government of either county. We are an independent authority, and we are governed by a board of directors. We have a 10-member board of directors. Five members are appointed by each county executive and confirmed by the county councils. We do have two non-voting members as well, one from each county that deal specifically with issues related to the disabled community. And so while I am responsible for the day-to-day operations of Lanta, we do have the board of directors. The board of directors really is kind of sets the overall vision and the overall major policy decisions and those sorts of things.
Are issues in Northampton County, mass transit-wise, the same as Lehigh County? Do the five members in Northampton County have the same issues that they do in Allentown and in Bethlehem and in Lehigh County?
Basically. Our board members have never... If you sat in on one of our board meetings, you wouldn't know who was from Lehigh and who was from Northampton County.
There's no vested interest necessarily.
And so they kind of... Basically, their concern is the overall system and how it's operating and the budget, and that we're staying on budget and those sorts of things.
So how are you operating? How healthy is Lanta? Mm-hmm. How are you guys doing first quarter 2015?
Lanta, we're in very good shape financially. We do have we've come in under budget over the last few years in terms of our operations, and we're funded through our operating side is funded primarily through funding from PennDOT, from the state. Okay. There's a transportation fund that is funded through various things like a portion of the sales tax and that sort of thing, and that comes into a transportation fund that gets allocated out to all of the transit systems in the state based on certain criteria, so population, the ridership on your system and that sort of thing. So and that has been growing because one of the primary contributors to that fund is the sales tax tax, and as the sales tax proceeds grow, that fund grows. And we're also with the most recent legislation, the transportation funding legislation, the growing areas of the state, as that fund grows, those funds are allocated to the growing areas of the state because of the way the formula work. The places that are either declining or staying flat, they have kind of a hold harmless thing where they can't get less than they got the year before. Okay. But if there's any growth, that if there's areas of growth, like the Lehigh Valley is growing, so our operating funds tend to have been growing over the last few years. And then on the capital side, in terms of buying buses, buying vans, that sort of thing, that generally comes from the federal government. We get federal grants for capital items, and that's matched. We have to match that with state and county dollars. And that has been, that side of the budget is a little bit more tenuous because federal funding has been flat for so long, and there hasn't been any type of multi-year transportation legislation passed at the federal level in a while. So obviously, if your funding is flat, your costs are going up. So in effect, it's a decrease. So we've been trying to target the really important things on our capital side, like making sure we spend as much as we can in terms of replacing buses as they reach their useful life, replacing the paratransit vans as they reach their useful life, and really focusing those dollars on maintaining our assets.
So how carefully were you looking at Governor Wolf's budget proposal from earlier this month, and how much does that impact on what you're going to do over the next 12 months?
Right. It's actually the state budget as a whole doesn't affect us too much because we don't really get any
no
really discretionary.
Okay.
Right. It's very formula based, and there's the programs that we receive funding through have dedicated streams of revenue like the sales tax and certain other taxes and fees that go into the transportation fund. So it's somewhat separate from the year to year fluctuations of the state budget.
So did you say you have 2,600 bus stops in Lehigh and Northampton?
Right.
How many vehicles do you have out there stopping 2,600 different stops?
Mm-hmm, right. We have a total of 83 buses at our peak. There's 70 buses out on the street at our peak service time. Mm-hmm. And it's about 30 different bus routes, so a lot of those hit some of the same routes, but it's a lot of them are unique to each of those bus stops.
Yeah. Average route, 10 miles, 40 miles? Do you have a figure on that?
Let's see. I would probably say the average is probably about, totally off the top of my head, I would probably say maybe like 4 miles or so.
Okay, so it's...
Yeah, we have some really long routes. There's one that starts in Bethlehem and then heads up to, goes all the way out to Bangor and Rosetta, so that's probably our longest one. We have another one that starts in Allentown and ends up in Walnutport. But generally...
Good haul.
Right, yeah. Generally, and then there's another one, Allentown out to Briningsville and Foglesville, but generally the routes are kind of within Allentown, Bethlehem, and there's some that kind of focus just in Easton, so they're generally shorter, but we do have some long haul routes.
Chatting with Owen O'Neill, Executive Director at Atlanta, is there an area in our area that you look at and go, you know, I kind of think they're underserved a little bit. We'd like to try to do something. Let's take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. I think the hardest areas are, well, I think there's a couple of things. In the urban areas, I think that we have good service there, but I think what we're trying to focus on is providing more frequent service. Generally, our bus routes really only run either every hour, and our most frequent routes run every half an hour. And there's places, especially in the really high demand corridors within the urban core, where I'd like to get us down to maybe every 15 minutes, every 10 minutes at certain times of the day, at least during certain times of the day. And then if you look at some of the industrial park areas, like we talked about Briningsville and Foglesville, where there's a lot of growth in the warehousing industry, and then also along the 33 corridor as that starts to grow in Northampton County, those are areas that we really need to do a lot more with. We've greatly expanded the amount of service we send out to Fogelsville every day over the last couple of years, especially with Amazon coming on and then Ocean Spray and some of the
come.
Other right and more to come, and then the same thing out in the 33 with the Schrinn interchange and a lot of the growth that's going on out there. Those are some of the challenges we'll be, and then the airport area as well, where there's potential for a lot of industrial park growth.
Has PPL Center affected your life at all, or has that not been a factor?
To some extent, we have been adding on event nights. We do add some service for late at night for people, not necessarily for the people who are going there for an event, but for the people who are working there. Kind of getting them there and then making sure that there's service late enough to get them home, at least on certain key routes and to certain areas where we have higher demand.
Earliest bus for Lanta and the latest bus generally are when?
Earliest bus is about 5 in the morning, and the latest bus is about a little after midnight, about 12:15.
Wow, that late. I would not have guessed that.
Right.
People can find out all the schedules. I'm sure you have a website. What is it?
It's atlantabus.com. And yes, all of our schedules are on there. We also have a Google trip planner. You can load in your origin and your destination. It'll tell you how to get there using Lanta routes. And all of our information about fares are on there. And so really anything you need to know about how to ride the bus is on the website.
Owen O'Neill, my guest. Lanta Executive Director. We're back with Owen, the second half of the program, straight ahead. Back to Outlook. Good to have you along. Dan Holzman hosting. Our guest is Owen O'Neill, Executive Director at Lanta. All right, Owen, a little while back there was a big push moving Lanta forward.
Mm-hmm.
What was that all about, and have you moved Lanta forward? What was that study looking at, and have you implemented all or some of it?
Mm-hmm, right. That was a study that was initiated in 2008, and really looking
at... Wow, was that long ago?
It was, yeah.
Holy smokes.
And then I think we've completed it in about 2010, but it was really looking at what was... And at the time, one of the last transportation funding bills at the state level was passed, and so it was envisioned that there was going to be a significant increase in the amount of transit funding coming into the Lehigh Valley. So one of the things that spurred that plan was to say, okay, how do we, if we have the resources to grow the system, how do we want to grow it? What should it look like? What should we be focusing on? And that sort of thing. And so some of the main things that really came out of that study were when you look at the growth of the Lehigh Valley over the last 20 years, and I'm sure everyone sees that it's changed quite a bit.
Sure.
And over that period, ridership on Lanta buses grew by 65%. And so if you look at the...
Every business wish they could say that.
Right, yeah. Right. And if you look at the projections going forward from Lehigh Valley Planning Commission for the population, that the region is going to grow faster in the next 20 years than it did in the last 20 years. So if you kind of extrapolate that trend and say it is possible that we could be carrying 65% more people 20 years from now than we are now. So how do we grow into that? And how do we grow the system in a way that's feasible, where we're not taking these big jumps and trying to big jumps that we can't really afford, but kind of grow the system over that 20 years to really kind of respond to the growth in the area, both in terms of population and in terms of development and economic development.
And I guess one way of doing that is a new facility down in Easton, the Intermodal Center. Tell us about that.
Right. That is there's a couple of pieces to that. It is truly an intermodal center. There's going to be a parking garage, which the downtown Easton really needs for a lot of the things that are going on there. The building that's being built, the office building that's being built on the site, is going to be Easton City Hall. And then
where are we talking about in town, by the way?
This is right on 3rd Street, just a couple blocks south of Center Square.
Okay.
And from Lanta's standpoint, currently the main stop for downtown Easton is Center Square. And it requires, if people are transferring between buses, it requires them to cross the street and mix with traffic. There's really not a whole lot of places for people to sit down or get out of the rain, get out of the snow. And so this center will be where the buses will go. It'll actually be inside. And so people will be out of the elements. There'll also be restrooms and a ticket office and so it'll give us a lot of opportunity to provide services to people and information to people. So it really should be and the other thing too, it'll allow people to do is to have direct access to the Transbridge and other intercity bus carriers where they can make direct transfers right there at that facility.
What's the time frame? What are we looking at in mm-hmm. terms of schedule?
We are planning to be in our portion of it, the transit center portion of it, as early as September. Okay. And that seems to be a realistic timeline at this point.
I know one thing you're particularly proud of is the paratransit service that Atlanta offers throughout the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. Detail that. Who's eligible for it? How do they find out more?
Well, I guess the best way to find out more is to go to our website, and there is the paratransit system we call the Atlanta Van, and there is links on our website to all the Atlanta Van information that people would need. And actually, it's the system is actually a coordinated system, and it actually operates the service for people under various programs, including in Pennsylvania, we have what's called the Shared Ride Program, where anyone over 65 can ride within their county for any trip purpose, and they just need to make a reservation. There is a fare involved in that, but people, seniors, have access to that service. There's also under that there's special services for persons with disabilities who have a disability that allows them. Does not allow them to access the bus, but this provides them with service so that they can get to the various trips that they need to. And then there's some other state-sponsored programs that are also under that program. There's also the Medicaid Medical Assistance Transportation Program that's operated through that system, where people who are on Medicaid can have access to their to be able to get transportation to and from their medical appointments. So there's various forms of eligibility under that program because it covers a lot of different transportation sponsored programs. So basically, if looking for eligibility information, the best thing to do is kind of look at that information on the website. If people have a transportation need that's not being met, there may be something in the Atlanta Van program that addresses that.
Recently, you introduced service to L-Tri-C. Tell us about mm-hmm. that. And do you see, I know when you announced the L-Tri-C deal, there's some talk that maybe you're going to Northampton Community College as mm-hmm. well in a similar role. Tell us about what the plans are there.
Right. Well, we've had a route to the L-Tri-C, to the Schnecksville campus for a long time, but there was never any evening service. And one of the things we did a couple of years ago, where we entered into an agreement with them where we offer some evening trips between downtown Allentown up to the Schnecksville campus, and they provide us with, we have what we call a revenue guarantee agreement, where we need to have a certain amount of revenue to make it worth our while to do that.
Sure.
And so we credit them for any fare revenue, any passenger fare revenue we collect, and then they make up the difference for those trips. And the other thing, we've kind of been growing that relationship over the last couple of years, and one thing that we announced recently was a program where we sell L-Tri-C our 31-day and our 10-ride passes at a 20% discount, and then they agreed to then resell them to their students at an additional 20% discount. So the students can buy those pass products at L-Tri-C at a 40% markdown. So
how well received has it been?
It's been very well received, and they we had a couple of orders initially from L-Tri-C for packs of passes, and it's been an ongoing thing, and they've said it's been very popular.
What are the chances that's duplicated in Northampton County?
We've been talking to Northampton Community College as well, and about setting up a similar program, and so I think that's hopefully something that will be in the works pretty soon.
Technology has exploded over the past 5, 10, 20 years, and Atlanta certainly has to respond to it. What technological changes have you folks seen over the past even 2, 3, 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, the biggest thing, we put in what we call our automated transit management system, which is a GPS-based system where we have GPS equipment on all of our buses. And also part of that is we have equipment, what's called automated passenger counters, where we can track the location of all of our buses at any given time, and also track how many people are getting on and off at any stop on any trip throughout the day. And what the GPS equipment allows us to do also is to push real-time information out to our riders. And so we have what we call the bus tracker, and that is available. People can go and find out the location and the status of the bus that they're waiting for, and it's available. It's available on our website, but it's also available through an app or a mobile site if you're using a smartphone. There's also a text version of it where you can text the number of your bus stop, which all of our bus stop signs now have a unique bus stop ID. You can text that to a particular number, and it'll text you back what the status of the next three buses are that are scheduled to arrive at that stop. There's also a phone based version of that where you just call a number, and then it prompts you to put in your 4-digit stop ID, and it'll give you that same information, the status of the next three or four buses.
Owen O'Neill, my guest, Atlanta Executive Director. What do you see as the biggest reason people don't use Atlanta, don't use mass transit, period, mm-hmm. and how do you overcome those obstacles?
I think it's a lot of different things. I think one of the things, if you look at people who work in the Lehigh Valley, a lot of people don't. The biggest concentration of employment isn't in the downtowns. It's in the suburbs, and so people who are living in the suburbs and working in the suburbs, it's very difficult to try to accommodate that with transit. And so anything that we would be able to provide would be very infrequent. And so it's really frequency that gets people to really consider transit. If you say, you know what, we'll give you there's a trip at 8 o'clock and then 11 o'clock, and then people aren't really going to take that.
But yeah, it comes down to convenience.
Right. So, and then the other thing too is if you're working someplace where there's free or very cheap parking, you're obviously just going to, it doesn't cost you that much. You've already made your car payment and paid your car insurance. It doesn't cost you that much more to drive into work.
Right.
So if you look at places like Center City, Philadelphia or something where it's going to cost you $10 or $15 a day to park, obviously that changes the equation for you. And so it really comes down to the incremental cost of your trip and then the frequency of service. How convenient is it? And so if it's something that's every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes, you might think about it. But if it's less than that, you're probably just going to stick with your car.
Don't know if you have this information off the top of your head. Busiest bus stop is what? And the most frequented bus route is what?
The busiest bus stop is the Allentown Transportation Center.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And most of our routes, or a good portion of our routes, go through there. The second one is probably the downtown Bethlehem. And the third is probably Lehigh Valley Mall, where we have four or five routes that go through there. And a lot of people use that stop. They make transfers or they're going to the mall. And then our highest ridership route is the one that starts in South Bethlehem and goes down Susquehanna Street and comes up through downtown Allentown and then goes up to the mall. Our Route 103 is highest on any given day.
As someone who sometimes has to wait forever to get out onto MacArthur Road to go mm-hmm. home from work, I'd love more people to take Atlanta. That would be fabulous. You'd be doing me a favor.
All right.
Owen O'Neill, my guest, executive director with Atlanta. We've got about a minute and a half. Look into your crystal ball. I have you back 5 years from now. How has Atlanta changed in those 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things we want to do, we do have a part of our Moving Atlanta Forward plan. We had what we called our enhanced bus or bus rapid transit plan. And that's one of the big things that we want to try to implement over the next few years. And basically what it is looking at our really heaviest traveled or heaviest demand corridors and starting to really build up the frequencies along those corridors. So like we talked about getting to the point where we have a bus every 15, every 10 minutes, maybe even less. But also, what the bus rapid transit is really starting to take is a mix of kind of some of the aspects of a light rail system mixed with bus, and basically in terms of looking at things like traffic signal prioritization, where a green light stays longer if it senses a bus is coming, and doing other things with some of the roadway improvements to expedite the bus movements, and so really kind of cutting down the travel time and making the trip a more convenient choice for people. So that's one of our biggest things that we want to accomplish over the next 5 years.
Well, this is not your father's mass transit anymore. If you're able to do that with traffic lights and signals like that, that's incredible. Owen
right.
O'Neill, again, website for you folks where people can find out all they want to know about Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. It's atlantabus.com, LANTABUS.com.
Owen, thanks. Great seeing you. Hope to see you again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
You bet. This has been Outlook on Clear Channel. Thanks a lot for listening, and we're back again next weekend.